God bless you, everybody. Let's pray. Oremos. Dios Padre, Hijo y Espíritu Santo, Creador de lo visible y lo invisible, Dios Todopoderoso, te invitamos, oh mi Dios, a este lugar donde tú nos has traído a escuchar tu palabra, donde tú nos has traído, mi Dios, a aprender de ti. Te pedimos que nos hables al corazón, que nos hables a través de tu palabra y que podamos, mi Dios, presenciar tu presencia en este lugar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the scripture readings for today is from Exodus 17, 1 to 7. And this is the word of the Lord. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. The people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst? Why?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so. In the sight of the elders of Israel, he called the place Massah in Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not?" First, we read in Exodus 16 that the Israelites complained because they didn't have food to eat, right? And God gave them meat to eat in the evening and bread to eat in the morning. Now we read in Exodus 17 that the people complained because they didn't have water to drink. And God made water come out of a rock. In fact, the Israelites complained a lot while they were in their long journey through the desert. And they complained and complained, and it seemed that they were never happy. And it seems that, they never learned about God's faithfulness. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 78, 15 to 20, "He split rocks open in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made the streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Even though he struck the rock so that water gushed out and torrents overflow, can he also give us bread or provide meat for his people? So the psalmist says that the Israelites were unfaithful, stubborn, rebellious people who complain and tested, who complain against God and tested the Lord. I have never experienced that kind of thirst the Israelites might have experienced walking through the desert without water to drink. I have never been in the desert without water to drink or without food to eat. But many of my brothers and sisters in Christ have. Many of my dear friends have experienced the excruciating thirst when they crossed the Arizona desert to come here, fleeing from extreme poverty and violence. A kind of slavery, too. I have heard many of their stories that just by thinking about that made me want to cry. One of my friends was telling me how she walked for 6 days through the desert. And after the third day, they didn't have any water to drink. See, they thought they were going to walk just for 6 hours. And those 6 hours became 6 days. Of course, they couldn't walk with enough water through the desert. And just when they were about to give up, just when her body was about to give up, because it was screaming desperately for water, they saw a ranch, and they saw some horses drinking from a bucket, a water bucket. See, they couldn't get close to the ranch because you know how dangerous it is. The people there could call immigration, or worse, they could even shoot them. They could even kill them. So what they did, they were hiding, and one by one would go to where the horses were and drink from the horses' water bucket. The water was dirty. She said that they would get there and quickly just do this so that they would move the dirt and the leaves that were in the water and drink for it. See, it wasn't the best water at all, but for them, it was like water coming out of a rock. It was just like that. It tasted like clean water coming out from a rock because it was what they needed at that time, just water to hydrate their bodies. Water is essential for life, and we know that. I think we all have experienced some kind of thirst. But most of us are able to get some water whenever we feel our throat dry and our mouth so dry that we cannot speak. And we know we need water. I get headaches when I don't drink water. And I know that if I have a really bad headache, that doesn't happen usually, I need to drink water. And amazingly, it helps. I don't take pain medicine, I just drink a lot of water, and it helps. So water is essential for life. And that is why people from towns in Mexico that had been devastated by the earthquakes are desperately needing water. That is why people from Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands are asking desperately for water. Because if there is no water, there is no life. We can go for weeks without eating any food, but just only for a couple of days without eating water, drinking water. That's why I empathize with the Israelites. I mean, I know the psalmist says that they were unfaithful and they were complaining and complaining and complaining. But I cannot even imagine what they were experiencing walking through the desert. Just by thinking about my friends, that's my baby, by the way. I think she's hungry. You should give her some milk. Is there? I left everything ready. Okay. So then hold her and drink, give her the milk. That will help. She's just one more old and a couple weeks. So. But she is thirsty. She is hungry. And she's blessed that God gave me enough milk that I can feed her. It's like water coming out of a rock. That's God. It is. That's God's providence. Even our bodies can provide for our babies. Isn't that amazing? I will not continue about that because then I will take the whole time. But it is like water coming out of a rock. But thinking about our kids being hungry, being thirsty. Imagine the Israelites when their kids were crying because they were thirsty, just like mine, and not being able to give them water. Not being able to even find water anywhere close by. I mean, Exodus says that they thought they were going to die and that their kids and their livestock were going to die because they didn't have water to drink. And I wonder how many people from Puerto Rico, from the Virgin Islands, from Mexico, from other countries that are experiencing war or famine are asking this. I'm feeling the same. The Israelites ask themselves, is the Lord among us or not? I'm wondering how many people are asking these questions at this time because they are thirsty and don't have water to drink. Is the Lord among us or not? I wonder how many people who have experienced traumatic experiences, traumatic events, have asked these questions. Is the Lord among us or not? I wonder how many people who are victims of sex trafficking are asking this question right now. Right now. Somewhere around the world. Because this is happening right now, just as we are sitting here. How many people who are being used, whose body are being treated as objects or worse than objects, are asking themselves, is God among us or not? I wonder how many people in this country who are experiencing rejection, who hear all this hatred, speeches full of hateful rhetoric, who are being marginalized, who are being oppressed, who are being rejected because they are immigrants and don't belong to this country, could be asking this question, is God among us or not? I have myself asked this question. And actually, I asked this question just a week ago. After seeing everything that is happening in Mexico and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, after seeing the news and seeing how many children and women and men are sex slaves, after seeing how many people are suffering because war, because people are being killed just because the governments cannot get along. After seeing people dying, kids being starved to death because there is enough food for everybody, because they don't have clean water to drink. After seeing how much hate exists in this world against people just because they have a different color of skin, or because they are immigrants or refugees, or because they have different beliefs, or because they have different, or because of their sexual orientation. I mean, there is hate everywhere. There is pain everywhere. And I spent a week in my house taking care of my baby and recovering myself from a cold. And I was looking at this news and watching everything. And I found myself crying and asking, is God among us or not? Is God among us or not? And I felt guilty by asking that. I felt unfaithful. I felt that I was getting far, far away from God for even asking that question. Because see, I grew up knowing and learning that we never question God, right? We are not supposed to question God because everything happens for a reason. Because God is in control. So that's what I grew up learning and knowing. So I felt bad because I was questioning, even asking this question. But Psalm 78, in a portion of the Psalm that we didn't read here, it's 38 through 39, says, yet he, God, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Often he restrained his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not come again. That translation in Spanish says, he remembered that they were simply mortals, humans. See, we are humans, and in our humanity, we ask that question, especially if we are experiencing so much pain and so much suffering, or just by seeing everything that is happening around the world. He said, isn't just human to ask this question? Is God among us or not? But my answer to this question came through the same images that made me question God in the world. The same images that made me question the presence of God in the world. When I saw the first time the buildings being collapsed in Mexico, people crying because their loved ones died, because they lost everything, I was just seeing the devastation, the suffering, the pain. But then, as I continued watching what was happening, I could also see people helping others. Strangers helping strangers. Strangers going there, running. I mean, it made me cry. I cried when I saw the suffering, and I also cried when I saw people helping others. People just running to the buildings that were collapsed and trying desperately to move the debris, the rubble, everything they could with their hands to try to save those who could be still alive. And many people are still doing that. I saw people trying desperately to help the people from Puerto Rico, the people from the Virgin Islands. I have seen people loving and showing their love for the people who are in countries that are in war, in famine, who don't have food or water to drink. I have seen people standing up for those who are marginalized, rejected, oppressed in this country. I have seen people fighting with their lives against sex trafficking. See, I have seen that grace of God manifested through them, through the people. So I have to sit down and answer, and let the answer to my question come from the people who were giving their lives, who were showing love to others. And maybe some of them, then maybe don't even do it in the name of our God. See, we tend to think that everybody who helps somebody is a Christian. But sometimes they don't even do it in the name of our God. But still, they are being the hands and feet of Jesus. Still, they are showing God's love. They are the water coming out of a rock. They are the meat and bread coming, falling from heaven. Because God's grace and love is amazing. See, in a world that is too full of violence and pain, we don't need to make God appear. Because God is here already. Our task is to proclaim God's presence. Our task is to embody God's will and presence for the sake of all creation. And we are fallen people. We are all fallen people. We sin. We doubt. We are unfaithful. Sometimes we question God. Sometimes we ask ourselves this question. Is God among us or not? But yet God's compassion, faithfulness, and forgiveness is greater than our unfaithfulness. I love what the psalmist says. God's compassion. Because of God's compassion, he not only responds to our complaint and to our unfaithfulness with compassion and forgiveness, but he even uses us to proclaim God's presence in the world. That gives me hope. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. And I know that it gives hope to many people. Because when I talk to my friends and who have crossed the desert and have told me, you know what? We found a gallon of water on the desert. Somebody left water there for us. And then we knew we could make it. After drinking that water, we had a possibility to make it through the desert. Somebody who lost his wife and daughter in the earthquake in Mexico was saying, my pain is unbearable. But after seeing how many people came to help us, how many people came to try to take my daughter and my wife from under the debris, I had hope, and I knew we were going to make it. I have heard and read about testimonies of people who have been rescued from sex trafficking and saying, because people have shown me love and have helped me get out of this slavery, I have hope now. So seeing that people are being the hands and feet of Jesus, that people are proclaiming God's presence in the world gives me hope. And that's what helped me get through this week. And I know that's what will help me get to the weeks ahead. Because pain and violence exist, might always exist. But also God's presence, because God will always be here. Knowing that God is present through many people who love God and others made me stop doubting if having another kid was the right decision. Because when I saw all that pain and all the suffering, I fear for my kids. And I was like, now I have one more to fear for, one more to worry about. But then I saw all these wonderful things that were happening, people helping others, showing love, may God, proclaiming God's presence in the world. And then I knew, and I knew that my kids will be okay. And I knew that God will make water come out of a rock and will make meat and bread come down from heaven. Amen.